Happy Wednesday, everybody. It's always great to come on the air after a Blackhawks win. I'm going through the text screen. I can see that some of you were getting a little bit nervous, but in the end, all is well. And we've got a great show tonight. We'll be taking it all the way to 1 a.m. when Nick D takes over, and then he takes it all the way up to 5 a.m. And it's a whole great time here at WGN Radio. So we hope that you are happy, healthy, and safe wherever you are tonight. There's a lot of ground to cover tonight. Coming up later, we're going to check in with musician Karen Choi, who's on the road performing at venues all over the Midwest, so we want to let you know about the shows she has coming up. We're also going to check in with the Senior Vice President of Shepherd's College, a great place I want to tell you more about, and Brian Page will fill you in on everything you need to know. If you have someone in your life who has an intellectual disability, he can tell you what kind of a path they might have if they want to go to Shepherd's College or someplace like that. And we also have Dr. Dingman coming up after midnight, so if you want to have a reading done live on the air, he'll be at your service at 12:15, and Andy Choi from Verizon is going to explain the 5G. I don't know what's going on there, but he's going to tell us more about that. To start things off, we have former federal prosecutor and CNN legal analyst Renato Mariotti on the line. I'm looking at CNN right now, so this is one of those moments when you're not on my television. Hi, Renato. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I wanted to let people know, by the way, if you have any questions for Renato about anything that's going on legally, feel free to call during his segments. You can call 312-981-7200. You can also call or text. So that's 312-981-7200. Renato, I believe there was a little bit of legal news today, as there seems to be every single day. We've learned now what the decision by the new judge is. This Judge Jackson made it her decision
that's
on his
right.
sentencing. Tell us what this really says as far as now it's 7.5 years combined with the sentencing he had last week. What were your thoughts today on this decision?
Well, it's a very serious sentence in a white collar case. I understand that there's a lot of folks who wanted and expected that Paul Manafort was going to spend 10, 20, 30 years in prison. He's not going to do that. He's going to, he'll serve 85% of that 7.5 year sentence. It'll probably be something, over 6 years, but not maybe over 7 years in terms of what he actually ends up serving. Even though that doesn't seem like a serious sentence, that's going to be a very long sentence to Paul Manafort, who is, up there in years. His the health doesn't appear to be the best, and he's definitely been used to living the high life, having a luxurious lifestyle. That's going to be a long time for him. And in an ordinary case, I prosecuted many, many white collar crimes. I now occasionally represent people on the other side. Six, 7, 8, years in prison is a very significant sentence for anybody. Now, obviously, could he have gotten more? Sure. But frankly, he, at this point, I think he is going to not look forward to spending that time in prison.
And the judge said today, in contrast to Judge Ellis last week, who said that the Manafort has led an otherwise blameless life, Judge Jackson wasn't quite as generous with her words today, that he may not be the worst criminal, but he's done a lot of bad things here. And he's the first campaign chairman for presidential campaign that has been convicted of crimes like this since Watergate. What should people take away from this? And I guess that we should also talk about the new charges. There's a lot going on today.
Yeah, there's a lot. So, all right. So let's start with, what she said and how culpable Manafort is. In terms of white collar crime, Manafort has committed so many different white collar crimes of all sorts, whether it's tax fraud and bank fraud and failing to register as a foreign agent. He had bank accounts from the government and he obstructed justice. I mean, there's a whole variety of crimes that Manafort was convicted of. Ultimately, he bilked taxpayers of millions of dollars. Not somebody that deserves anyone's sympathy from that perspective. He's certainly somebody who, committed serious crimes and has been in many ways defiant to the end. Although I will note today, he took a tone with Judge Jackson was a little bit more contrite than he was. He didn't express any contrition at all before Judge Ellis. That said, I think that, Judge Jackson, despite, seeing how serious those crimes were, I thought she took a very measured approach. It's an appropriate thing for a judge because she's you know, sentencing a human being, not just sentencing, a piece of paper here. You know, she's actually weighing all those factors. But ultimately, the question for Manafort is, will he get a pardon or will he have to serve out that time? If he serves out that time, I think that that's going to be the bulk of the remainder of his life. And then the question is, will he end up serving time in New York? In New York prison. And the question there, I suppose, is two things. First, would they be able to obtain a conviction? Those convictions couldn't be pardoned by Trump. And second of all, would there be a potential double jeopardy problem? And there may be under New York state law, and there's a lot, that's a little complicated. Essentially, you can't be charged for the same crime two different ways. Usually, state and federal crimes don't count as the same crime, but New York has a statute that might, let Manafort get off the hook.
It was strange for a lot of people that President Trump came out today and says he feels very badly for Manafort. But he didn't say anything about the fact that this man has been convicted of a crime by not just one jury, but two, and sentenced by two judges. It's bizarre. I get that you feel sorry for your friend, but there should also be like, I wish he hadn't done that crooked stuff.
Yeah, I have to say it's something that in ordinarily in another age, right, we would have thought very, we would have thought that this is something very odd for the president to say. It would be shocking. It would have generated, endless coverage if the president said something like that. Now it's normal, right, because, the president says, very unusual things that are shocking on a daily basis. I mean, just the other day, he was denying climate change and attacking that on his Twitter feed. And that was that even a story or much of a story? I mean, everyone just kind of shrugged that off. And I think that it's the sort of thing that, we should be shocked by. But I think people have gotten to the point where they're no longer shocked by anything that the president does.
Well, speaking of shocking, I want to know if you'll hang out for another segment. A lot of people are still reeling about this college cheating scandal. And would you be interested in sharing your thoughts on that? Because it's infuriating. And, we've talked a little bit about the bigger names because they're celebrities. But this is a pretty wide-reaching scandal that, again, I would think falls into the kind of work you've done as a former federal prosecutor.
Sure, I'm happy to do that. That's quite a case, isn't it?
Oh my, it's I don't even. Okay, there's so many things that are wrong there. Well, more with Renato Mariotti. He is a former federal prosecutor and a legal analyst on CNN. He also hosts the podcast On Topic, which you can find anywhere that you listen to your podcasts and subscribe to it as well. There'll be a new one this Friday, and catch up with us more in a moment on 720 WGN. It's the Patty Vasquez Show. Former federal prosecutor and CNN legal analyst joins us on the line. Renato, I want to talk about the widespread college cheating scandal and all the indictments and arrests that have happened. I did also want to address a question from a listener because we are taking texts, and the 312 probably thought I wouldn't ask you this, but I think we're going to do it anyway. They want to know if you feel, as a CNN legal analyst, if it was proper for you to give feed questions to a California Democrat during the Michael Cohen hearings.
Well, it's a good question. I will say that, CNN has a variety of legal analysts and political analysts, frankly, from all sorts of sides of the aisle. I don't really make my political leanings a secret from anyone. I'm a Democrat. I've run for office as a Democrat, and I'm frequently on CNN debating people who are Republicans, like Jim Schultz, who worked in the Trump White House. I try to, when I present legal analysis to people, I try to present it in a way that is accurate and that, presents a realistic picture to people. And I'd say some of my recent pieces have been not particularly loved by some of Trump's critics because they think I've presented a bit of a contrary view. But I am certainly a Democrat, so I not only, I will tell you, I'll reveal to you, not only have, assisted my former law school roommate as a California congressman, but I frequently You know, I've contributed to Democrats. I've run for office as a Democrat. I've voted for Democratic candidates. And that's just who I am.
Well, as a CNN legal analyst, that you know, those are panels where they're opinion-based. Those segments of CNN
Correct.
Aren't the news segments. They are the opinion conversations. That's why you're part of the shows like Don Lemon's and some of the other, throughout the
Correct.
Day. Right.
It's in between. I'm not a journalist. Yeah.
It's in between. Right. That's what I try to tell people. You know, the news is at the top and bottom of the hour. That's the news. And then we're the talk. And some of that might be covering the news, but it is under the sort of auspice of we're having a conversation about it. We're broadcasters. The journalists do the hard, heavy lifting at the top and bottom to make sure that you have all the facts. And we sort of break it down and share opinions. Like the story about the cheating scandal, you wouldn't hear the news person say, "I am appalled by this." But you will hear Patty Vasquez say, and I'm talking about myself in the third person, say, "I am appalled by this, Renato. I'm actually really angry." The more I learn about this, I don't know if you saw read the some of the issues that came up, what the parents were doing. They were advised by this ringleader who took money from parents in order to get them into these elite schools. One of the things they did was have them pretend to be stupid or not intelligent, mm-hmm. so they would qualify for disability aspects to taking the test, which meant they might have a private testing, they might have more time. More and more I hear about this, it's so enraging. And some people say, well, this is the kind of thing that's been happening forever, you know. If I had money, I would do that too. I would try to do everything for my kids. Tell us a little bit about the legal part of this. There's mail fraud there. Well, there's all kinds of fraud. Fraud.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually been charged as a RICO case, a racketeering case, which I will tell you surprised me a little bit. I have to say prosecutors took a very hard line towards these particular defendants. And so I'll just tell you personally, I'll say this, it's another, like you said, I'm an analyst talking head. I'm not a journalist. I'll say on a personal note, I am outraged too. I was somebody, my parents didn't go to college. My dad didn't even graduate from high school. And, you know, I was somebody who didn't have any, I didn't even have a test prep to help me with the SAT. I just went in and took it and didn't have any of these, certainly any help of this kind to get through college. So, you know, I think it's awful that there are kids out there who are, competing with that, in an honest way, and essentially they're being cheated out of opportunities, and these schools are not able to compare apples with apples. So I think it's outrageous, but I will say also that the federal prosecutors here really threw the book at these parents. I mean, if I represented one of those parents, what I would be saying is, you may have just, you may have paid $50,000 or $100,000 or whatever it is. You are now facing a racketeering conviction. You're going to be, very likely a convicted felon, you've been convicted of a federal crime, potentially a very high potential penalties. Now, I don't know exactly what the sentences would be here. Like I said, Manafort was 7 years, is a long time, 7.5 years. This wouldn't necessarily be as high as that, but you could imagine somebody who lives a pretty posh life could spend some time in prison. So there's some serious consequences. There's people, by the way, were arrested in their homes. So, I think that a case like this is something that, and I guess a couple points I would make is, one is these cases are hard to investigate. I would think a case like this would be hard to uncover this kind of fraud. And that may be one reason why the government prosecuted the case the way it did. And second of all, it's the sort of case that hopefully will have a deterrent effect. For me, and I'll say this is me speaking, just kind of paraphrase this by saying, this is not me speaking as a legal analyst, but me speaking as just somebody who, was in education myself, obviously, was going up against people who, when I was at Yale Law School, I went up against a lot of, people who were privileged, who are my classmates. I would just say that there are a lot of advantages that people who are affluent have for their children in admissions processes that are not crimes. And one thing that I hope that this indictment does is it gets us talking about how it is that certain kids have advantages, whether it's, certainly criminal is one thing, but in general, what can we do to help kids who don't have the best tutors and the best people helping them with their college applications and crafting them, because to me those kids should not be at a disadvantage, and shouldn't the kids who don't have those advantages shouldn't be be competing with one hand tied behind their back.
That's a great point, Renato, and I thank you so much for pointing that out. And that's a conversation we'll have to continue having. Renato Mariotti, I know that you've had a long day, and I appreciate your time. And we'll talk to you again soon. And everyone can check out the podcast On Topic, available anywhere you listen to your podcast. And of course, he's a regular on CNN as a legal analyst, as part of their panels, and a former federal prosecutor who is burning the candle at all three ends. So thank you so much, Renato.
Thank you.
And follow him on Twitter at Renato Mariotti. He's always sharing his insight on a lot of these topics. More in a moment on 720 WGN.
The year the rain came down like never before. There was water on the field. There was water on the floor. And now a river flows where our feet usually stand. And it's well up past my knees. It's rising. It's smoke. The fire's from his foxhole. It drove my family from all.
The incredible music you're hearing right now is from musician Karen Choi. She's one of us. She's a Midwesterner, born in Nebraska, now living in St. Louis and performing in towns all over the Midwest, including Indianapolis. She'll be up in Minneapolis. And I want to catch up with you because I've been reading about you, Karen. First of all, pleasure to meet you on the phone.
Yeah, pleasure to be on. Thanks for having me.
Of course. I love that you share so much of your life and storytelling through your lyrics. And I wanted to find out, because you have in one of your bios about how you feel like you did this sort of backwards. Like you had kids first, you got your, you know, went to college. You had a kid before college, during college?
During college.
During,
yeah,
college.
That's right.
And then finished your master's degree and then started your music career a little bit later. Why do you feel like it's backwards? Is it because, you know, we see other people and how they sort of have their path that we feel like, okay, this isn't the way people usually do it? Tell us a little bit about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good question. So I think part of it's just I was so young, you know, when got married young and started my family young. And then I think a lot of people through their 20s are sort of building a music career and getting out and touring extensively and just kind of pounding the pavement, trying to build that that career. And I was sort of building a family around that time, you know, and but at the same time trying to still find ways to keep this part of me alive and to you know, to make this work within the world I was, the path that was unfolding for me.
Well, and it also, it sounds to me as though, you know, doing it your way, not a different way or backwards, but your way is, it informs so much of your storytelling and your beautiful lyrics as well. Don't you feel that way?
That's right, for sure. I think that just kind of having to integrate family life and writing and traveling and, you know, going to school, all of those things, it just all feeds right into what I write. For sure.
You do a touch on kind of getting, looking back and where you are now. You know, have you always sort of been very observant? Because not everybody has the sort of perspective that you do, sort of feeling it. It seems as though you feel things very intensely. Is that accurate?
That is accurate, yeah. I think ever since I was young, I've felt that way. And sometimes I joke that, like, well, what else are you going to do but be a folk songwriter at that point, you know? So yeah, I think that's something. Just I write a lot about, you know, stories from my own life, but also other people's lives, and so I think I just feel intensely on a lot of different levels, and that allows me to write other people's stories from time to time as well, not just my own.
When you are sharing your music on stage, because I've done stand-up comedy for a long time, and I've always been fascinated with the sort of different energy that a musician experiences compared to what we do. But because we, you know, feed off the energy of the room, and I used to think, oh, well, you know, at least musicians have their music, they're going to play the song their way regardless of the audience. But I've been learning a lot more from musicians that really does impact how you feel, you know, in a live performance. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I think in some ways, especially if you're on stage solo, you know, there's probably a lot of similarities between stand-up and, you know, being a singer-songwriter, because you're carrying the entire room, and you don't have anybody that you're bantering back and forth with. You're just trying to find ways to draw the audience in, and you can tell, like you said, if they're responding, if they're receptive to what you're saying, or if it's just the temperature of the room definitely feeds your performance. And I think I love all different kinds of stage experiences, you know, like the very quiet listening room experience where you can tell everybody's just listening to every word you say. Right. And then I also love like the, there's more of like the classic,
Like a rock star venue.
Right. Well, not that I see many of those being like a singer songwriter type, but you know what I mean? When I'm playing with a full band and it's just a livelier, venue, that kind of, I just love the whole spectrum of stages and shows.
Now tell us a little bit about some of the gigs you have coming up. I know pretty soon you'll be performing with Vicki Emerson, who's not only a friend of this show, but was introduced to me by Steve and Johnny. So by extension, you're also adored by our listeners, just so you know.
Yes, Vicki is I love Vicki because she always says we all do better when we all do better. And she's just somebody that helps other musicians. And so she just is an advocate for, you know, helping us all in, and I'm excited to play a show with her. But yeah, that's in Minneapolis. I'll be up there with her on Sunday, St. Patrick's Day. So this whole weekend will be fun, just with it being St. Patrick's Day weekend. I don't know if, I'm hoping that'll mean more people are out and about.
Yes, it will.
Yes, in Chicago, especially, I'd imagine.
Yep.
I hear about the Green River. I've heard stories of it.
You'll have to come sometime.
Yeah, well, and so let's see. Indianapolis is a house concert, which are also, you know, that's kind of what I was talking about with that sort of listening room environment. And then I'll be in Chicago on Saturday. So this is a short run tour, and I kind of do some little short run tours, and then I'm working on a new studio project, and after that I'll try to get out for some longer stretches.
Well, we are so thrilled to get to know you, and I hope that when you're coming through Chicago again, we'd love to have you come in the studio and meet you and hang out. Everyone should go to KarenChoyMusic.com. You can see her lineup, also her album. You can purchase the album. You can also learn more about her lyrics. I love that you share that because it is true poetry, and it's been a pleasure getting to know you.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Of course. Our pleasure. No, I'm grateful for your time. I know it's late, and it's not that easy when you're juggling family and travel. So we wish you the very best.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a great night and safe travels.
You as well.
Love
Have
you.
Have a good night.
Have a good night. More after this. We're going to catch up with the Senior Vice President of Shepherd's College when we come back on 720 WGN.
Oh, ho, ho, it's my.
We're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show, and we are in the Allstate Skyline Studio. So happy that you're hanging out with us, and we hope that you're happy, healthy, and safe wherever you are tonight. Not too long ago, I had the opportunity to visit a wonderful college called Shepherd's College in southern Wisconsin, and it's a place that I hope someday my son Declan or some of the kids that he's grown up with will have the opportunity to participate in the programs. And we've invited in studio the Senior Vice President of Shepherd's College, Brian Page, to join us in the studio because I wanted to learn more. Brian, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, it's my pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Do I have to call you like a VP? Do they have a title? Does everyone address you as Hello, Vice President Brian Page?
Oh, I'm never anything special like that. I'm lucky to even be called my name. Most of the time, Brain.
Brain? How does that happen?
Because people misspell it all the time.
Oh, no. No, it's not okay. How do they not stop and go, his name is probably Brian?
Well, because they say that spell check didn't catch it.
Oh.
I said because Brain is a word.
Okay, right. Their automatic reply is that.
Happened while I was coming up tonight.
Good. It wasn't me, though, was it?
No.
Did I?
Okay. At the front desk.
Oh, no. Oops. Oopsie. So the college is very unique, and I want to ask you first a little bit about the history, because from my understanding, Shepherd's used to be a sort of a group home rather than a college.
Correct.
Is that accurate?
Right, that's accurate.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about the history?
So back in 1957, which is basically 62 years ago, in Milwaukee, they had a couple that had a son who had special needs, and they basically had a Sunday school class. And someone asked the question of, what do we really do with someone that has disabilities? And so that's really kind of what started it. Then from there, a group of other people decided that, hey, maybe we can put something together to try and serve those that, at that time, it was really more special needs and various disabilities. Shepherd's has now, of course, you know, changed, and as the language has changed over the years, that it's really more, we now serve students that have intellectual and developmental disabilities. But that's kind of the history. So if you think back, you know, as I said, 62 years ago to where we are now, you know, they had this basically Shepherd's Home opened up with 36, you know, young men and young women, to where it is now of actually having a full-blown accredited three-year college post-secondary.
And that's the thing that struck me. And you know, when Declan was born, there were people who said, well, have you thought about institutionalizing him? Mm-hmm. Right? And that was kind of, you know, and look, we look back at past generations and we question the way that they did things. But you know what? Every step is a step towards learning and understanding.
Exactly.
And, you know, the fact that there are now colleges, when you say accredited program, tell us a little bit about the programs that are available for individuals who, you know, maybe aren't going to go to traditional colleges.
Well, the nice thing with Shepherd's is because they recognize the fact that you're not trying to offer everything,
right?
And trying to be all things to all people. So we have a culinary track, a horticulture track, and a technology track. So really, as a three-year program, students come in their first year. They live within the dorm setting, obviously on campus, with it being a residential college. The second year, it's basically for them to continue just a progressive model. So the second year, they move into what we have as on-campus homes.
Okay.
So then it's a smaller group of people. The goal is for them to continue just to take on what we call appropriate independence. So that second year, they're in a home. Basically, it will be six students. They have two kitchens that are really set up, and those students then have a chance to go ahead and take on another level of where they're doing more cooking, more cleaning, continuing just to really grow into the responsibility areas. The third year, then they move into the on-campus apartments, where it'll be one young man living with another young man, one young lady living with another young lady. And then they're really having a much larger level of freedom and independence, where they're basically preparing all of their meals, they're managing their apartment. Of course, there's still oversight and supervision and things like that, depending on if students need medications, etc. But the whole goal is for them to have this appropriate independence. They come in with year one of basically getting kind of a taste of all three of the tracks. At the end of that first year, or at least at Christmas time, then they're coming back and then declaring their major, which is a great opportunity for students. And then they can say, I've decided that I'd like to go ahead and pursue the technology track. And then the second year, they start on their track. The third year, then they start going ahead. Part of it is really still the educational classroom component. And then they start doing field experiences where they partner with various businesses throughout kind of the Wisconsin, Southeast Wisconsin area.
I love the whole landscape, not just the way it looks, but the landscape of what the path can be for so many of the kids, the young people that go to Shepherd's College. I've talked to parents here after I visited. I said, do you know about Shepherd's?
And that's great.
I have a friend who has a son with Down syndrome, and she was like, what? I had no idea. And so I've had the opportunity to talk to a lot of the families that I know about this, because they have kids that are older than Declan. And it must be so joyous when you have parents that are visiting, you know, for the sort of on-campus tours, for them to go, I didn't know this was a possibility.
Absolutely. Well, just, and you know a little bit of our story, but, you know, because my wife and I, we have a son that has intellectual disabilities. He was born and had a bleed in his head at birth, and so they had to put in a VP shunt.
Okay.
And basically, the doctor said that he was never going to do anything. He was not going to be able to walk or talk. You can relate as a mother.
I had that speech.
Yeah. Right. Going through all the IEPs, I mean, all the negative things about, you know, what he's not going to be able to do. And so just kind of fast forward to him ended up, we find out about Shepherd's College. We had no idea. So as you're talking about parents actually walking on campus the first time, Benjamin was going to a special needs school in the south suburbs, Elam Christian School. And so he started going there, was having a great experience, and one of the resource individuals mentioned, what are you thinking about once he graduates? And we had no idea. And then she said, you know, there's a place that you might want to check out called Shepherd's College. And I was on a business trip in Arizona.
Uh-huh.
My wife called me, and then she said, have you heard of Shepherd's? And I said, never heard of it before. And we like to say internally that you don't want it to be a best-kept secret. So Natalie and I, my wife, we decided we'd go visit. We took Benjamin with us. And I can tell you, Patty, we were walking across the campus and started crying.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was so overwhelming that when you're a parent of a child that has any type of a disability, that you're like, wow, there's something like this that's available. I mean, we have two other kids, so I have a younger daughter. We have an older son.
Uh-huh.
So my daughter's in college right now. My son has already gone to college, graduated, kind of all, off and on his career, married. But Benjamin was able to sit there at Shepherd's, and we asked him after the tour, you know, what do you think? And he said, I'd love to go to college like Harold.
Oh, come on.
And it just wrecked us. Yeah. I mean, we literally were just thinking, wow, somebody thought about this years ago when we were still struggling mm-hmm. and trying to figure out what Benjamin's future would really look like. So it's just been a phenomenal opportunity for him.
So here's the next question, and this is the one I asked when I was on the campus, because there's as wide of a range as our kids are, right, from every
right.
kind of ability, and whether they are going to go to Shepherd's or the University of Illinois, mm-hmm. This is the thing that's hard, is that when you drop them off.
Absolutely.
Oh, what was that like for you, Brian?
Well, it's kind of a funny story for us. So both my other two kids came, so we all were there, got Benjamin all set up and moved into his dorm room, and so he was all excited. Shepherd's does something that's really kind of a unique thing. So all the parents are together. We're all in the gymnasium. So all the parents, all the students. So normally you're basically dropping your child off and then you're leaving your child. Well, what Shepherd's does is kind of the opposite. So as we're all together in the gym,
uh-huh.
they start calling out the different students in the groups. So the students really leave in groups to go head up and leave the parents in the gym.
What?
Right.
Yeah.
And so I can see you can understand how this is. So, you know, Benjamin starts to walk off and he's like, bye mom, bye Harold, bye Autumn Grace. And he leaves. We're all standing there and I look and I see my wife heading toward the door, walking outside. She put her sunglasses on, just walked outside and disappeared. And my son said, where's mom going? And I said, just give her a moment.
Yeah.
And she went outside and was just sobbing. And so the drive back from Wisconsin, back to the south suburbs where we live, was quiet probably for the first 45 minutes
yeah.
as she was still processing that I never saw this day coming.
No.
It was just so overwhelming. So we're excited, but then you're like, are they going to be able to take care of them like we do and all the other aspects? But it was extremely emotional, but at the same time, exciting. So we still kind of wonder because Natalie was kind of figuring, well, what are they? Are they going to make the right foods for him? And is he going to have water at night if he's thirsty? And what if he's
yeah.
not feeling well? I mean, they've already thought through all those other things.
Mm-hmm.
But part of it was just her thinking about we've been, and you know, as a mom, we've been used to swooping in and doing all of these things
right.
for the Declans, for the Benjamins, all of our lives. And now we're basically having to let them go. So it was a huge adjustment for us. Trying to learn not to be helicopter parents for your child that has special needs.
We are talking to Brian Page. He is a senior vice president at Shepherd's College. It is, is it near Beloit? What town is that
it's
near?
It's kind of near Racine and Kenosha.
Racine, that's the town.
Correct.
And I want more Benjamins, more families like the Pages to have that experience. So what you never thought was possible.
Right.
So many of us raise kids with intellectual or physical disabilities and think that, you know, you mentioned what the doctors told you when Benjamin was born, all the things that he wouldn't do. And so many of us are given that list of never.
Right.
And what we also learn is that never is an impossible place to live. And
exactly.
I love that Shepherd's College is part of that path of here are the possibilities. We're going to learn more mm-hmm. from the senior vice president of Shepherd's College, Brian Page, when we come back. You're listening to 720 WGN. I have to go get a Kleenex because I am crying a little bit. that's a wonderful story. And I want to hear more about Shepherd's College when we come back on the Patty Vasquez Show.
It's good to be king. For a while.
are listening to the Patty Vasquez Show. We're so happy that you're here. We're hanging out in the Allstate Skyline studio with Brian Page, who is the senior vice president of Shepherd's College. And we learned a little bit before the break about the idea that his family, that Brian's family thought that their son Benjamin would most likely never go to college. He was born with a brain bleed.
That's
and
right.
For those who don't know, that can lead to so many different complications, physical and neurological. And you were telling us about that day that you dropped him off and he walked out. Like, and that's the thing is, like, for any kid who's like, their family's like, you know, what? And
right.
The kid's like ready to go.
Exactly.
How did you then, because this is something you had just been introduced to, how did you get involved and become the senior vice president of Shepherd's College?
Well, it was kind of a combination of things, but I was able to just to connect up with, at that time, the senior leadership, the president at that time, Dr. Bill Amstutz, and now the current president, Tracy Terrell. And we just really were having conversations and started talking about various aspects as the college was continuing just to grow. The organization was becoming more college-centric
right.
because there was a lot of other aspects kind of tied to Shepherd's, you know, kind of the overall umbrella. And through those conversations, as I kind of got to know them a little bit more and kind of giving some suggestions, the organization was in transition of people retiring and kind of bringing in new staff. And so during that time, one day that Tracy had a conversation with me, called me on the phone and my previous employer and said, hey, would you ever consider coming to be a board member at Shepherd's or maybe even coming to serve as a VP for Shepherd's? And my initial thought was, well, we can't move to Wisconsin.
No offense, Wisconsin.
No. It just was the fact that, you know, you've got your home and my wife is working in her career as a college dean. And so, we've got, you know, two mothers that are both widows. So, you know, you're kind of set in those things. And my daughter was still, in high school. So those are like factors. But then we continued to talk and, you know, after a lot of kind of prayer and consultation, it's one of the best decisions I've ever made.
And it sounds fantastic. Not only is it a great decision, but it seems like, as far as I can tell, Shepherd's College is lucky to have you, and they were smart
to say,
hey, come work for us.
I don't know if they'll say that, but I appreciate that.
Well, I'll talk to them.
Fantastic.
I'll make a few phone calls.
Okay.
I loved the campus and the idea that the kids, you know, have the three different you know, sort of stages of living on campus as you would if you were going away to school, like anybody does.
Right.
You have the general dorms where you're going to have, by the way, I'm guessing, some drama and some excitement, but also some fun and great memories.
Absolutely.
That a lot of parents don't think is really going to be a part of their child's life.
Correct.
And that's one of the things that I just fell in love with. But also the different programs. Do you have a sense of, because I didn't know anything about Shepherd's College, I didn't realize there were over 200 schools that serve the intellectually challenged population.
Correct.
What is your sense of how this program differs? Or what stands out for you, I guess, is the better question.
It's really kind of a combination of things. I think what makes Shepherd's unique is because, you know, I know in Benjamin's case, growing up and going through, as you're well aware of, the various IEP meetings and all of the different discussions that you're having and what's next, the steps that we sometimes are very overwhelmed with. What Shepherd's is great about is that it's specifically for individuals that have intellectual and developmental disabilities. Now, they may have other types of special needs as well, but some other schools, there's plenty of programs now that really are kind of inclusive programs where, you know, you're just kind of mainstreamed into the general population, but you're kind of off, and no criticism, but you're kind of off to the side. And then if you're high functioning enough, which would not have been Benjamin's case, you know, you may be going to class on your own. Maybe you have an aide, but oftentimes it's a little bit difficult for some kids, depending on whatever their needs are. We know in our case, you know, Benjamin realistically is probably not going to drive. So when you add in those kind of other factors, it's nice that when you see a lot of the students at Shepherd's and through your tour, you got to experience it, that kids will go ahead and say, I get to be with other people like me. And they realize that it's not that they're constantly trying to be compared up to the other students, again, that are in the mainstream general population. So I think that's really what separates Shepherd's in many aspects.
Right.
Now, again, you're going to graduate with a certificate. But we're also looking at this point, we've started a process of being able to even offer associate degrees. I mean, so
Really?
Yes.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. So that's, you know, so you know, that allows you to serve another population that oftentimes you wouldn't have. But I think the other part that's really fantastic is that it's residential. So students get to come. Benjamin gets experience like what his brother did. I mean,
right.
They're, you know, we don't have, they're not going to be doing wild things. You're talking about kids with, you know, various disabilities. So, you know, they're not running wild. They're being supervised, you know, so they're not doing drinking and drugs and things like that, which is kind of what parents are trusting their students, just like Natalie and I did. You know, so you want to make sure that they're going to be safe. They're not just running wild. There's always 24/7 supervision. Mm-hmm. Someone is always available. So that makes a big difference and provides peace of mind.
And there are a lot of listeners who maybe don't have an individual in their life who has physical or intellectual challenges. What would you say to them? Because it seems as though, unless it's personal, people kind of go, well, it doesn't really affect me. But you were telling me off the air the population in this country that could benefit from programs like this. Tell me a little bit about those numbers. Because I think people would be surprised.
Well, I think it's kind of mind-blowing because the stats basically say there's 6.5 million people in the U.S. have an intellectual disability, which is approximately 3% of the global population. And so if you actually think about it, there's as many as 200 million people that actually have a disability or an intellectual disability. So that's huge. And I think it's probably safe to say most people know somebody. I know growing up as a kid that I went to school with various kids that had physical disabilities, intellectual disabilities, a lot of things like that. I mean, the language was different in terms of, you know, what people were called at that time. And there's, you know, you're still having to deal with some of those stigmas. But I think most people probably either know somebody or there's someone in their family or a person that maybe they end up having a friend that ends up having a child that has some type of a challenge, even through a birth defect like Benjamin did.
And I think that, you know, the idea that we would continue to live in the shadows, I mean, because some people do. Mm-hmm. Some people don't want to go in public. They don't even want to take their children to a restaurant because they don't want people to stare, or it's very intense. And something like the idea of their child might be able to someday go to Shepherd's College, I think, opens up their world a little bit to hear us talking about it.
Correct.
I don't think people realize, you know, wait a minute, there's more out there, the possibilities. Because we plateau sometimes.
Oh, absolutely.
We sometimes go, okay, that's it. This is going to be the best it's going to get. And then someone else opens a door and you go, oh, I shall walk through this door and see what happens next.
Yeah. Right. Well, we experience, you know, many things with Benjamin. You know, one of the things is you see those milestones in their life. I mean, when he first rode the bus, being able to go to school.
You're right.
When he was getting on the bus initially, he could not actually buckle the seatbelt by himself. So an aide and the driver every day patiently would help him to buckle the seatbelt, bring him back home, help him to undo the seatbelt.
Yeah.
But of course, there is the, you know, the negative and the stereotypes of you're riding the short bus. And, you know, you'd have people in the neighborhood, you know, we're in a nice suburban area, that people would make fun of things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or sitting in an IEP meeting and then having everyone, all the different therapists going around the room and just saying, well, he can't do this, can't do this. And finally, I'm like, well, what can he do? Because if you know his story, then you'll understand if he starts walking and he doesn't start walking until 18 months, that's a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if he's not supposed to talk and he starts talking, that's a miracle.
Yep.
So when they're going ahead and coming back to us as parents and just saying like, well, he's only able to go ahead and do this many letters of the alphabet. Well, but he wasn't supposed to do any.
You're not getting it. Yeah.
Right. So that's the huge part. And we look with him because he's had shunt malfunctions. He's had to be helicoptered to hospitals. So you see things like that, and now you can look and realize the opportunity that's there. And that's the big thing, I think, I would hope for other families to realize. It doesn't have to be Shepherd's College, but there are places available that sometimes people have no idea that are actually out there.
And that's why I wanted to have this conversation with you. And also, we need to let people know where to go to find out more information about Shepherd's College.
Oh, absolutely.
Where's the best place?
The website is a great place. It's www.shepherdscollege.edu. And it's Shepherds, S-H-E-P-H-E-R-D-S, shepherdscollege.edu. Hawkeye.edu. And the nice thing is with the website, people can go to the website, they can donate, they can support, they can contact us if they wanted to come like you've done and do a tour, if they'd like to volunteer. Again, if they want to donate, if they know somebody that is interested that might be a potential student, they can contact us. They can get information about all about the college, about the programs, and there's some great videos that are there that they can that probably they'll need their Kleenex because it'll have them crying.
You got me. I mean, I just had my IEP yesterday, and we could do a whole, and we will do a whole show one day, Brian, just on that. And so I want people to know that that's a great place, as Brian mentioned. Again, we were talking to the Senior Vice President of Shepherd's College, Brian Page, and the extraordinary work that they do there. Go to shepherdscollege.com, shepherdspherds.edu.
Edu. Correct.
And I also want people to know that, you know, the reason that this is not just important because of our families,
right,
but our place in the community.
Exactly.
All the families like ours, like Benjamin's family and Declan's family, you know, the challenges are not just what we go through and our hopes for them,
yes,
but it's also our place in your neighborhood. The divorce rate for parents who have children with disabilities is over 72%.
Exactly.
There are, you know, the resources. The more you invest now in helping kids like Benjamin and Declan reach their potential, the less we have to worry about paying for things later. Too.
That's right.
You know, people always want to talk about, like, well, who's paying for this? So those are the things I want people to keep in mind as we continue to have conversations with individuals like Brian. And I also want to let people know that the application process is open, and I believe it's open till April 30th.
That's right.
If you have questions, you can email me. I will forward them. You can email me at pattyhappens@gmail.com. That's pattyhappens@gmail.com.
Fantastic.
And I want to make sure that people know that, that you know, that we're going to continue to have this conversation.
Oh, I'd love that.
And also, I want to know, so where is Benjamin in the, is he still at Shepherd's, or is he in the third year?
He's in his third year, so he majored in technology.
Okay.
And just having a great time, loving just being with so many friends that he's made, which is great because
right,
these students are from all over the country. And so he is scheduled to graduate in June.
Yay!
So he is really excited about that, and just growing tremendously. I mean, doing spreadsheets, which is just unbelievable.
Right.
I mean, I don't know if I could have done spreadsheets when I was his age.
We're going to email that doctor with his nevers or their nevers.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
There's plenty of those testimonies.
Yeah. We'll have to continue this conversation very soon, if you don't mind coming back.
Oh, I would love to.
And I know that if we get some texts and phone calls, I'll take the messages and make sure we get those questions on the next time we have
our new advocate, so you don't even have to pass them on.
Well, there you go. I don't know. I can't answer all the questions. It's been a pleasure hanging out with you again, Senior Vice President of Shepherd's College, Brian Page.
Oh, thank you so much.
And safe drive home tonight.
Absolutely.
And I know it's not Wisconsin. You get to stay close to home and,
that's
and
right,
work with some great people.
And almost 60 degrees.
I know.
Isn't that great?
This is so nice. Wait till Friday.
Bryce.
More after this on the Patty Vasquez Show, 720 WGN. We are playing this music. Tom Hush wants me to apologize. I don't think there's anything to apologize here. This isn't. What are we apologizing for, Tom?
I don't know.
Not traditional WGN music.
No, it's not a Bob Seger. So.
Well, but there's a lot of different music. Wait, there's the screaming. Is it screaming? So this is what kind of music?
Death metal.
Death metal. And I was asking if Metallica was death metal, and you said no.
No, I mean there are many subgenres of metal music that are, it's too much to go into
okay,
on one go, but
a lot of people say that this is the kind of music, like there was a time when it was thought to be satanic.
Yeah,
it was linked to these sort of cultish groups of especially young men.
Yeah, and right, specifically this band was at the epicenter of that. They're called Mayhem, and they're from Norway. Started the Norwegian black metal scene, and their bassist was actually convicted and sent to prison for burning churches across Norway. Now, the rest of the band did not support this. This, they did the face paint, they did the, like, big spikes, but they did not support any sort of actual physical violence against people, but the bassist was literally burned churches. And that's what garnered them the reputation. There's actually a new movie about them called The Lords of Chaos.
That sounds chaotic.
Yeah.
And mayhemish.
Yes.
A little bit. Well, I mean, so with that kind of behavior, I guess you could see why bands like that would get a reputation for being dangerous, and maybe you don't want to expose your kids to it.
Right.
Or maybe it would have a bad influence on your brain waves and make you do horrible things. But there's a new study that says, not so fast. And I was surprised by this. This is something that you sent me, Tom, that I want people to know. You sent this because you are a fan or listen to death metal.
Yes.
I of course, we all know, have an appalling lack of musical knowledge. So that's why I didn't know if Metallica was in this genre. It is not. But there's a decades-long study that says they were trying to examine the emotional effects of music, and they say it's complex, right? So some people might enjoy sad music. You know, why would you want to? I lean into sad music when I'm feeling that way. It's kind of cathartic. Mm-hmm. But there's this examination found that it's not necessarily, it doesn't lead to violent behavior. And so this is the thing, is that, you know, this should be reassuring to parents and religious groups, that just because they're listening to, the majority of death metal fans are actually intelligent, thoughtful people who just have a passion for the music. So there, yeah. Everyone take it down a notch.
Yeah, and I like that you mentioned catharsis, because that's a super important part of music, a super important part of art. In Aristotle Poetics, he talks about, why do people like tragedies? And it's because it helps you exercise those feelings from yourself so that you can kind of like get it out of you. When you're sad, if you exercise those feelings out by watching someone else be sad, in a sense, then it kind of gets it out of you. You have a good cry, and then you move on with the rest of your day.
Right. And you have this music that sort of just, whatever vibration speaks to you, it makes sense to me. And what they did was show images. They did this sort of neurological exam where they would have, it's called binocular rivalry. So they, you know, basically saying that if you are if someone who's drawn to violence, then would be drawn to this death metal music. In fact, they were as appalled by violent images as someone who likes classical music or country music. So there wasn't any difference on that. So there you go.
And remember, there was a point in time when they thought Elvis was going to be the destruction of society. So these attitudes change, and people try to push things forward and try new things. So don't be afraid of those long-haired freaks with the leather jackets.
Let's not go that far.
They're just
teasing. I look, you know, there's something for everybody. I never understand the people who get upset about what somebody else likes. If you don't like it, don't listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the way things go.
Tipper Gore.
Isn't that freedom of choice? Right? Yeah. That's kind of what it's supposed to be about. Yeah, Tipper Gore. That was so bizarre. Like, here's a Democrat telling people what to listen to. You're like, Tipper.
He's got better things to do.
So many better things to do.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just you better die job. More after this on 720 WGN. St. Patrick's Day is upon us this weekend. It's always great when St. Patrick's Day is on the weekend. So you can,
it's the best.
Feels like you can celebrate properly and really get started on Friday, I guess, is kind of the problem. But I enjoy it. We always go to the Irish American Heritage Center. We used to always go to the Abbey Pub. And one of our other places we enjoyed was Niven's, Tommy Niven's in Evanston.
Oh, it's the best.
Those were our stops. So the Abbey's gone. Tommy Nevins is gone.
Yeah.
And so we'll be at the Irish American Heritage Center this weekend.
I want to say, was it the Abbey that was on Bar Rescue once?
Yes, it was.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Yeah,
the loonies were a little loony. Yeah, I know the loonies.
Oh, man, they screwed it. They screwed that one up.
That was I love that family, though. They're great. So I do miss it. There was a fire, and there was an issue. They didn't own the building, so there was an issue with the landlord, and we no longer have the Abbey Pub. Hopefully, they'll come back someday. I also like Chief O'Neill's. That's a great Irish joint. But that's another great question. What's your favorite Irish place? Is it like Three Counties Pub in Jefferson Park? By the way, they have like Irish meetings there. Like, we don't understand a word they're saying while they're reading the minutes. Elliot and I were there one night. We're like, are we in the middle of a political meeting? What's happening?
Yes.
Grafton Pub by me, Vaughn's. What's your favorite Irish pub? Do you have one?
Definitely Grafton. The Grafton is great because that's the one closest to me. I would say that's traditional. And my Uncle Francie does a session there.
Really?
I think once a week.
Okay.
So sometimes I'll go see him play. He just plays the accordion. And then Vaughns. I mean, my family goes way back with Vaughns. I think my grandparents knew the original owners of Vaughns. So it's always been just in the family to go to Vaughns.
We like the Cura too, which is a newer place.
Oh yeah, the Cura.
Yeah, Cura. Sorry, yeah. We call it the Cura, but Cura, I guess. There's one in Skokie, and then one in Edison Park. And yeah. I think there's one in the suburbs too.
The one in Edison Park, we just had our my cousin Martin's getting married to the lovely Siobhan, and we had their wedding shower there. Lovely place.
I like the Cura. How do you say it?
The Cura.
Cura. I've been saying. I say it with a lot of emphasis on wrong. Heavily wrong. It. I also like the there's a new place, newer, it's not new, but the Harp and Fiddle in Park Ridge is good.
Ooh, that sounds like fun.
I like that one. So 312-981-7200, where are you planning on spending or do you like going to the Irish joints when everybody else isn't there? That's another way to enjoy it. Because some people like to stay home and just make their own corned beef and cabbage and have a great, or whatever traditional meal you like having, because it's not necessarily, corned beef and cabbage is Irish and Irish American.
Yeah, corned beef is like, isn't it? Please correct me if I'm wrong.
You will be corrected.
Isn't it like a traditionally a Jewish?
Oh, I believe
corned beef.
I believe so.
Yeah, but it made its way into the milieu of tradition. And frankly, I'm thrilled for it because I love corned beef.
All about it with some good horseradish sauce. I enjoy that and some good cold can of potatoes and brown bread. 312-981-7200. Patty should try the Harp and Fiddle. Yes, I just mentioned that. Your text came in just after I mentioned the Harp and Fiddle in Park Ridge. I was there a few weeks ago, and I was supposed to go every Monday because you could collect the different Guinness glasses. You know, all the advertising sort of the various characters that they have emblazoned on their glasses throughout the years, and we just didn't get a chance to. The 630 says Quigley's in Naperville. I'll have to check it out. 312-981-7200. What's your favorite pub, your favorite Irish joint to hang out or restaurant? Many of them obviously do double duty. Some great fish and chips, your bangers and mash. Where's your favorite place to go for an Irish breakfast? They'll have great food at the Irish American Heritage Center this weekend. Oh, I like Harrigan's Deli. Oh, I have a lot of Irish joints in my neighborhood. We also decorate the entire house with shamrocks. You know, and that's like the playful stuff. That's always been for the boys, but we really enjoy we like celebrating all the holidays. We decorate for Valentine's Day, for all of it. Hey, Jim, where's your go-to for a good pint of Guinness? Jim?
Rosie O'Hare's in West Dundee.
Rosie O'Hare's. What do you like about it? Is it the feel of it?
They have a great fireworks display on the river, and corned beef and cabbage is second to none.
Wait, they do a fireworks celebration for St. Patrick's Day?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Rosie O'Hare's in, where did you say again? Dundee?
West Dundee.
In West Dundee, everybody. Rosie O'Hare sounds like a great place to be out over by there. I love it, Jim. What's your what are some of your go-tos for Irish food? Do you do the fish and chips or the corned beef and cabbage?
Corned beef and cabbage.
Yeah, I like that stuff too. By the way, Jim, before I let you go, do you think that Chicago is even in the top 10 for the most Irish cities in the country?
Oh, hell yeah.
We're not. You would think so, wouldn't you?
I would hope so.
Well, it's everything, pretty much everything on the East Coast, because we stopped there first. I mean, like, this is a haul. You gotta admit, yeah. this was a haul in the late 1900s. A lot of the Irish stopped in Boston and Philadelphia and in New York. So those.
Yeah, I guess. I figure.
We got a pretty big population, but we didn't crack the top 10. So we're trying. Believe me, we're trying, aren't we?
Yeah, sure.
Well, enjoy your St. Patrick's Day. Have a great night, Jim. Happy St. Patty's Day.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
We may not be the biggest, but I would say we're one of the most distinct.
Yeah, well, everyone knows about Die on That River. Thank you to the Fugitive, by the way. They might have known anyway, but that really sent the message home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's like a specific type of like everybody knows Southside Chicago Irish is a very specific like character, is a very specific person. So I've always found that fascinating, that not the biggest population, but one of the most distinct.
Yes, I would say just very proud. Aggressively proud, I think, is the best way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
But the Southside Irish, you're right. I didn't know that my family was actually Southside Irish until my father passed away and I saw his birth certificate. He was born on the South Side, mm-hmm. and his family, after he was born, moved to Lincoln Park, which also had a pretty big Irish population at the time. But yeah, they were Southside Irish. I had no idea.
What do you know?
What do you know?
The things you learn.
I think it's amazing how much it has grown. The celebration for St. Patrick's Day has really exploded. The National Retail Federation forecasts that about 60% of Americans will celebrate St. Patrick's Day this weekend, and they will spend on average almost $40, $39.65. Go ahead and just use the rest of that money for whatever.
Yeah.
Well, that's it, having your meal, obviously, or maybe cover charge to get into someplace fun to go.
Yeah.
Your pints of Guinness. I think it's amazing that in 1996, 280,000 cases of Irish whiskey were consumed, and that has grown to 3.65 million by 2016. Holy I'm more Guinness on St. Patrick's Day than I am whiskey.
Yeah.
Because you're sort of, you know, being festive. Although that's not true, maybe I have had some whiskey.
Yeah,
the first time I ever had Jameson straight was in a pub in Ireland, and I was like, "Nope, not for me."
Well, that's too bad. I would say, it's a lot of people here in Chicago love Jameson. It's fine to love Jameson. Jameson's great, but I would challenge everybody try Tullamore Dew.
I agree.
Tullamore Dew is the real drinking man's whiskey when it comes to Irish whiskey.
I enjoy Tullamore Dew as well.
So good.
Yeah. Although Jameson's black casket is, not a casket, back, cask. But cask, yeah. Caskets.
I mean, it'll put you in the casket.
You have too much of it, you will end up in the black casket, but the black cask is pretty tasty.
Yeah.
But I agree, we had one of the ambassadors from Tullamore Dew on the show for last St. Patrick's Day, and it was lovely to meet him. He gave us a little Bible, but if you opened it, it actually had a flask in it.
I mean, that's the trick.
It's a little sneaky.
How do you get through Sunday mornings? Got a little, you know, it's right next to Leviticus.
Well, depending on the communion wine, you might you have a chaser. You got to have something to wash it down with. I'm just saying. So it is it's a huge celebration, of course, in Chicago. About 400,000 people line up to watch the Chicago River get dyed green. Takes, let's see how much they show the bag. It takes, is it really just 60 pounds of dye? It seems like it would be more than that.
It's probably pretty concentrated, though, if we're being honest.
Yeah, well, you're right. Well, I don't know the science behind that, the chemistry behind dyeing the river green, but
well,
it's 60
them.
Pounds. Oh, I definitely...
It's the plumbers union, yeah?
I believe you're right about that.
Yeah, they've done it every year, and they do it right. Every year I go, and I'm just blown away at just how green it gets.
Oh, it's vibrantly green. It has gone from, like, just sort of like, oh, look, the river's green, to like, wow, that is green, no. Greeny McGreeny pants. Shockingly green.
That's what you call the river when it goes green. Greeny McGreeny Pants, the Chicago River.
Yes, Greeny McGreeny Pants. It's fluorescent. Well, they want to make sure that it's seen from space, I believe. You want to give the astronauts or anybody on the space station something to look at.
Works for me.
You're not going to miss it at all, unless you're a flat earther, in which case there is no Chicago River because it's on the bottom and it fell off already.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't exist. The number of pints, are going to be 13 million pints of Guinness consumed on St. Patrick's Day. And the number of countries where Guinness is sold, is in 150. It's brewed in 49 countries and sold in 150. I used to be a bartender, and I didn't know until I was trained that the proper way, and every bartender's a little bit different. We actually had one of those spoons on a chain that you put on across the top of the pint in order to pour the Guinness.
Right.
And it takes, to pour the perfect pint of Guinness, it takes 119.5 seconds.
It's a science.
It is a science. And then there are folks that get all fancy with their clovers in there and the leaves and things. And I'm just like, give me my pint.
Whenever I get my pint, I like to make sure it's got a good head on it. So I just take my finger and I make a little smiley face in it.
Oh, see that it has to be a good head.
And then I take a big sip of it, and I make sure that I get a little bit of the foam on my mustache.
That's a pint that's... well enjoyed. Yeah, I like your style. I like your style, Mr. Tom Hush. It is there's nothing like a nice pint of Guinness poured well. We're going to take a break here. We're going to catch up in a little bit with our good friend Andy Choi. He is the public relations director for Verizon. He's going to fill us in on what it means for us to go 5G. Actually, let me see. He might be. I have to find out if he's on his way. We'll find out more in a moment on 720. Oh, he's outside our doors. I'm going to go let him in right now. Andy Choi's on his way in to the studios. 720 WGN 312-981-7200. If you have any questions about going 5G, Andy's here to answer your questions. Earlier today, Verizon announced that Chicago was going 5G, similar city too, but we're going 5G. And our good friend Andy Choi, who is the director of public relations for Verizon.
Public relations manager.
Make
sure we want to get that.
I always promote everybody to director. Manager. Public relations manager.
Thanks for the promotion, though, by the way.
You're welcome. Yeah. Your text in the mail. It's like 50 cents. 50 cents a month. So tell us, what does it mean for 5G? What does 5G mean? And what does it mean for unlimited?
Yeah. First of all, thanks for having us.
Of course.
Patty. I mean, you know, 5G, we've talked about this again and again.
You've been telling me.
From a thumbnail sketch standpoint, it's faster, low latency, a lot more data. It will just change the game when it comes to what you're using your devices for. So in the short term, you're talking about better uses for streaming, access to video, like HD movies you can download in seconds. For our business customers, AR, VR, so we're talking about virtual reality becomes a reality now, so you can get closer to your customers in that sense. Gamers too, the one-to-one motion that you can have during those games or those multiplayer games where you're moving quite a bit of data through the system there, it's going to move a lot faster. So in this launch here, we have announced Chicago and Minneapolis as our first cities to receive 5G mobility, and you have in your hands over there is the Moto Z3.
This is so cool.
Now, we talked about this device on this show a few months ago when it launched, and quite a few people out there probably have this device. This is from our hometown friends at Motorola. This is the Moto Z3, and that is the world's first 5G upgradable phone. So what's coming out and what you can pre-order starting in minutes here tomorrow is the 5G Moto Mod. So as you see there, you have the projector mod with you, and as you can see, it kind of just clips magnetically to the back of the phone.
Okay.
So now that projector mod will help you project movies. It's like, you know, it's basically a little, you know, walking, talking projector. What the Moto Mod is you just make the same sort of action there. It clips to the back of the Moto Z3, and it turns your phone 5G capable. So when the 5G network is live and running April 11th here in Chicago, in areas of Chicago here, you're going to be able to experience 5G with the Moto Z3. So this is really for folks who are on the ground level who want to get started with 5G right away. This will be the first device. Now, we're going to have a few more devices rolling out soon, too. So in the first half of the year, you've also got over there the S10.
Yes.
Now, that S10 phone is one of our newer
devices.
That's
a Samsung, right?
Samsung.
Okay.
The Galaxy S10. The Galaxy S10 5G phone will be available in the first half of this year, but that's coming out. And, you know, by the time we get to the end of the year, we're going to have 30 cities for Verizon's 5G ultra wide band network, and that means 30 cities like ours are going to enjoy the high speed, low latency of 5G.
So, getting that much that quickly, is there a cap? Is it unlimited, or is there only so much that you can?
For right now, it is unlimited, though.
Okay.
So, I mean, certainly we can talk about. There's a lot of kind of ins and outs when it comes to pricing here too. But basically, you're looking at $10 a month extra to get on the 5G there. And that's for anybody who subscribes to Verizon's unlimited plans.
Okay, so that's an extra $10 a month if you have a 5G capable phone. Will the Samsung then be able to function on the 5G network?
So the Samsung 5G phone will
be. Okay.
So again, going back to the Moto Z3, you know, that's a phone that you can upgrade to 5G.
Right.
And that's really the only device right now that's out there that can do that. So come April 11th, the only device you'll be able to use is the Motorola Z3.
I like both of these, but I have to say, because both my husband and my son have the Moto Z, they have the 2.
Yeah.
And the mods, though, make such a big difference.
For sure.
What is happening with this? Is it like, is that to prop it up?
What
is happening?
It's movie night here.
What? You'll have to show me during the news how to turn the projector on. But we've done that before where we can hear. Can you turn on the projector so that Tom can see that? And anyone watching on WGNradio.com, we're live streaming. So you can turn on your computer or on your phone. You can watch us as well. There you go. Tom, it's a projector that just snaps on the back of your phone. So you can just watch like YouTube, or you can watch movies on your phone and project it. And it's quite good. We do this when we travel.
Yeah,
Griffin's got a mod for his phone.
Yeah, nice little tailgating machine as well. And, you know, the nice thing about these Moto Mods is, like, they come in all different, you know, different uses. So you've got ones that do the projections. You've got ones that act like, you know, speakers that are kind of higher end. And then, of course, what we're really excited about right now is that 5G mod that's coming out.
That's very fun. These are fun toys. But we'll talk more about, you know, whether or not folks, you know, are going to be lining up. If this is something we want to know from our listeners, is this something that you want? Are you going to be the first one at midnight ordering your Moto Z3?
The old pre-order, yeah.
Yeah. I just blinded myself.
And by the way, the pre-order time from the 14th, so 3/14th to the 11th, if you do make that order there, the mod is $50 as opposed to the retail price of $350. So we're trying to get people really kind of getting excited and ready to go. If you really want to give 5G a shot here in Chicago, I mean, basically it's us and the Minneapolis.
All right, let's talk more about this when we come back from the news.
For sure.
That's Andy Choi. Follow him on Twitter, Andy Choi. More of this on 720 WGN. We'll get the Twitter handle right. Verizon has announced that Chicago is going 5G, and the manager of public relations for Verizon is in studio with me, Andy Choi. You can follow him on Twitter at Dude, it's Andy Choi. But you can talk to him right now because there are people texting in, and you can do so. 312-981-7200. We'd love to hear from you if you have questions or thoughts or comments from the 773. All right, Mr. Verizon.
Yes.
You are now Mr. Verizon.
Mr. Verizon.
Verizon.
Just coming in with these promotions.
Yes.
Thank you, Verizon.
He's brought in some cool gadgets for us to play with. Do I need a 5G phone for the best use of the 5G technology, and who has it?
Yes. The short answer is yes.
Yes.
You will need a 5G capable phone for 5G. That doesn't mean that your 4G phone won't be working on the network. It's not like 4G will go away. I mean, we still tout a fairly robust 4G LTE network that, you know, we're proud of. And so your devices won't be, you know,
obsolete
anymore all of a
yeah.
sudden. I think in this situation, because we want to open the door soon and be one of the first or the first, really, this is the world's first 5G mobility city here in Chicago. We want to give people the opportunity to try it. And so the only device right now that's set to give us that 5G capability is the Motorola Z3 with the 5G mod. So one more time, the Moto Z3 is a 4G phone right now.
Right.
You clip the mod on there, the 5G mod that you can at this point now, for the last 7 minutes, you can pre-order. You can start pre-ordering that on April 11th in Chicago and Minneapolis. You can clip that mod onto your Moto Z3 and your 5G ready to go.
There you go. Tom, did you want to say something?
Yeah, I was curious, with the introduction of a 5G network, are we going to see 5G hotspots? Because I really enjoy having those separate hotspots, especially when I have to do remote work, all that kind of stuff, and have a reliable network. So will Verizon be introducing that?
So that will be the plan moving forward as far as hotspots go. Because obviously, you know, when we, you know, when 4G came out and 4G hotspots were hot, I mean, that was something that really, you know, changed the game as far as being able to work and connect. So that is the game plan. But just to kind of give you a picture of sort of what Chicago is looking like when it comes to sort of where it's going to be, this is definitely something that we want to make sure we highlight, because we're so proud of, you know, all the different places in Chicago we're going to be. So coverage will be concentrated in the Loop, specifically areas of the West Loop, the South Loop, around landmarks like Union Station, Willis Tower, Sears Tower, the Art Institute, Millennium Park, the Chicago Theater. You're also going to get coverage around our Verizon store on the Mag Mile and throughout the Gold Coast, Old Town, River North. So lots of different places where people live, work, and play. And again, you're going to see the cadence of 5G rollout across not only the city, but across the country as well. So at some point, we'll all be, you know, kumbaya-ing with 5G.
Wow.
Well, how much infrastructure are you guys going to have to introduce? Or, like, is there going to be any new cell towers? Or are you going to be adapting old cell towers to broadcast a 5G signal?
So it depends on, you know, what the situation calls for. But from a broad perspective, we're talking about small cells here. And these are, you know, little antennas that are hiding in plain sight. And I would challenge folks to, you know, look around the city and see if you could find it, because, you know, it will be a little lower to the ground. But we are working with our engineers and our network team to make sure, and our city leaders, of course, to make sure that when we do install small cells and we densify the network, that we're doing so so responsibly with community leaders, you know, hand in hand, making sure that this is done in a way that's, you know, not only, you know, great for our network, but also good for the city as well.
And there's a lot of talk about how 5G is going to change the way that we engage with a lot of content. You know, YouTube videos will load faster, more likely to be in HD consistently throughout the duration of a video. But I know one of my greatest woes with my phone is when I'm driving, especially downtown, and I go to Lower Wacker.
Lower Wacker.
And I don't know how much it would affect it, but is 5G going to give GPS a better, I don't know, pinpoint of whether not where you are laterally, but vertically as well?
So I feel like everyone has an opinion about Lower Wacker when it comes to GPS.
Gosh, yes.
And, but that's really the plan here, is to densify the network and make it stronger. You know, I mean, we already are, well, like I said, we are proud of our 4G network, and 5G helps strengthen that. So, you know, hopefully, yeah, when you are in Lower Wacker and we are living in that 5G world, in your autonomous vehicle run by 5G, you'll be able to still connect to the network
there. Yeah, I'm not expecting any miracles. I mean, because Lower Wacker, that I think is like a Faraday cage, basically. It just cuts off cell service like nothing I've ever seen. But I'm super excited about 5G because I watch a lot of stuff on my phone. I'm
sure.
Commuting a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I love the idea that I'll be able to, I've got a phone that with a big, beautiful screen. I want
right.
to watch things in big, beautiful HD. And I'm sure as phones themselves get more advanced, we'll be able to stream like 4K on the go. I know that's like a while away, but like that's a dream to be able to watch things in 4K quality
on
a phone.
I mean, if you think about it, if you're stuck at the airport and you're ready to take a flight and you want to watch a movie, you know, let's say you're just flying to LA and you want that movie on your phone, I mean, you could download that movie onto your 5G phone in seconds rather.
Isn't that crazy?
I mean, it's just nuts. I mean, that is just really kind of the basic get you through the door level of a 5G use case. I mean, if we really want to stretch it out long term, I mean, we're talking about, as I mentioned, autonomous vehicles at some point. You know, public safety, it could change the game too. I mean, we're already seeing how many times public safety officials are utilizing the network and 4G capable communications devices. I can only imagine what that's going to look like with the 5G device, where we're moving data, you know, quickly with low latency. As far as medicine is concerned, smart surgeries that are remote. So you've got a doctor across the country that may be able to assist in some kind of robotic surgery that's going on, you know, on the other side there. So many use cases, and it's really that the limit is our own imagination. So it's
no delay is what you're saying. No delays. Now, you mentioned earlier that there's a $10 a month charge for using 5G. Is that for the whole plan, or is that, I mean, for the whole family, or is that per line?
So it's going to be $10 for every unlimited line there.
Okay.
We should note that the first 3 months are free.
Okay, so you can see if you like it,
yeah,
right?
See if you like it, exactly. So there's the other thing, too, that we want to mention for folks who really do want to get in on the ground floor of this is that the pre-order for the Moto Mod starts today, or today, you know, the 14th, and it goes till the 11th. If you do order the Moto Mod today on the 14th and add an additional line to your account, the Moto Z3 comes in for free.
Jeez, so that's wild.
So really, yeah. a really, you know, easy way to kind of get your foot through that 5G door. But, you know, we're just excited. We want people to give this a shot. We want people to really kind of think about it. I mean, we've been talking about this in theory for so long, and now here we are on the cusp of really using it for the first time with mobility. We've already talked about Indianapolis and the three other cities around the country mm-hmm. that have 5G home, and that's our residential broadband connection. But this is going to change the game, and Chicago, be proud, because this is a great testament to our leadership in business and tech.
Now, you mentioned that the Moto Z3 is free for adding a line. How long is that going for? How long do people have an opportunity?
So that is today.
Just today?
Yes.
Only for one day?
Yes.
Oh, so you got to make a choice.
Well, I mean,
I'm not good at choices.
Yeah, I mean, I know the phone is a choice, but I will say this. I mean, if you even think about 5G, I mean, and you need, and you just, you got to be one of those people that you got to have it now. this is a great way to have it now.
Well, yeah, so. If you've given add a line and the phone's free, right. Yeah.
But that said, I mean, you know, if you're the type that needs to be a little more deliberate or maybe needs to ask
questions and see what I need, right?
You know, there are a few more devices that are, you know, lining up to be part of our 5G ultra wideband network. So we've got the, we talked about the Samsung Galaxy S10, uh-huh. That 5G device is coming in the first half of the year, and quite a few others are in the works, and we're going to see, you know, more than half a dozen devices, most likely by the end of the year. Here.
I was going to say, because, you know, the Google 3, the Pixel just came out, so that's not going to be, it'll be the next Pixel.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Which means it's probably another Pixel coming out for all the people that just bought the Pixel 3.
I mean, I'm not going to, you know, prognosticate about this just yet.
I just saw it in your eyes.
But I will say that, you know, this is really the next step for all the major device makers, right. And they'll have their own launches as well. I mean, this is the next generation. I mean, think about what happened to your life after 4G. I mean, you got to experience video at a rate and a consumption level that you had never experienced on your phone. You know, voice-activated devices, smart appliances, things like that. Those are all kind of 4G-based technology. And so 5G really...
It sounds like 5G is going to do something before I think about it. It's going to be... It sounds like, I mean, at this point, I'm already, you know, conjuring up things that I didn't think I would, you know, whether it's an information, I have questions about medications, or if I have a question about a recipe. Now, I mean, like, how much faster is it going to get, Andy?
You're saying the 5G robot be like, Patty, I already knew you were thinking about
exactly.
I mean, and that's an interesting question for everyone listening, and for, you know, because this seems to happen quite a bit when we talk about 5G. Is sort of there are people out there who are going to say, well, do I really need 5G? I mean, you know, I heard someone say, like, you know, it doesn't make the MP3 sound better,
right?
You know, it doesn't make Adele sing any better. The thing is, like, before 4G, did we know that apps like Uber and Airbnb were going to make that kind of impact on our lives? Did we know that we were going to consume that much Netflix and, you know, video on Facebook and upload things like that? I mean, we maybe had an idea, but now this is like, you know, it's like if we don't have it now, we're like, what's going on?
Well, 5G sounds like it's going to change a lot, the way we consume a lot of things. We are going to take a break here. Andy, will you hang out I think you've been on the show before. We've had Dr. Dingman on, haven't you? He's our iTunes psychic. I wonder how 5G is going to affect what he does for a living and does as an insightful reader of people's past lives and their future. So 312-981-7200 if you want to have a reading done by Dr. Dingman. It's still on 4G, unfortunately. 5G is not where he is or on his device, but 312-981-7200 to have a reading done by the world-renowned iTunes psychic, Dr. Lars Dingman. He's on hold right now. Sorry, Doc. More in a moment on 720 WGN. Live in the Allstate Skyline studio. Joining me is Andy Choi. He is the manager of public relations for Verizon. We've been talking 5G. And I'm curious, our world-renowned iTunes psychic, who is a regular contributor to this show, is on the line with us. And I wonder, Dr. Dingman, will it affect you at all when you're doing readings and perhaps having the connection a little bit stronger and faster when you're having folks on the line?
Actually, good evening, first of all, Penny. The 5G is only for electronic devices, but it illustrates what I'm always talking about. The world is vibration, right? I say this all the time. Light is a vibration. Sound is a vibration. Our very essence, we are energy at our deepest atomic core. And when I tell people you need to raise your vibration or lower your vibration, and Andy is the Verizon guy?
Yes.
Andy, true or false? When there is the more frequent, the higher the frequency of the vibrations, the more information that the signal can carry. True or false?
Ooh, I may have to go back and do a little research on that, Doctor.
You're working for the company, Andy. You should know this.
Well, I want to give you the right answer here. I was prepared to talk about 5G, but I mean, I guess what is your interpretation of the vibration? Are we, you know,
the difference, as I understand the the difference with the 5G is you're adding bandwidth in the higher frequencies and some bandwidth in the lower frequencies. When it's a low frequency, the information travels farther and it's more, it penetrates better. The higher frequencies contain more, it's more densely packed with energy, but they're easier to deflect. And what happens when people get off the beam or when they're not living their best life, the universe reaches out to them with seemingly random songs that they hear. But in fact, those songs have meaning because the universe wants everyone to be in their right vibration, right? And that's why it works. It's science and this mystical psychic stuff. They're coming closer and closer together as time goes on, Patty. I find it thrilling. It's also thrilling to get a free phone. I mean, who's kidding who?
Well, that's if you add a line on Verizon, you can get the Moto 3 for free. And
you mean like a joke?
No.
Like two guys walking into a
line. At a line of service, I believe.
We love comedy at Verizon as
yes,
well.
They
so
do.
If you walk into a store and, you know, give us a joke, I'm sure we'll be fine with
they
that.
They have too, a great sense of humor.
All right, so you can trade jokes. There you hear it, people. Jokes for free phone service and phones. And red shirts.
And a line of service.
I'm going to have to check the press release on that
yes.
one, Doc.
I'm not getting Andy in trouble.
Andy, how do you have your job? You don't know this. You don't know anything about the vibration. How do we know? Check his ID, Patty. Does he really work for Verizon?
That's a good point. He was referred to us by C. Van Dinter, so I think he comes legit.
Patty thought,
who is a T-Mobile customer?
Doc, I'm so good. Patty thought I'm the director, not the manager.
I did think he was a director of public relations. He's the manager. That's how good he is at his job.
Yeah, you just gave him a raise.
50 cents a month. I'm sending him a check. Hey, Doc, I have a question for you. Should we see if Andy Choi can tell us the last three songs he heard randomly? Could do a reading for Andy Choi right here.
I would love to give this guy a reading, yeah.
I'm scared, Doc.
You don't have to be afraid. I think we've already done a reading for Tom, so we're not going to... Tom's had a reading.
All right, so the three songs...
Tom, how was the reading that I gave you? Was it? Has it proven accurate? Give Andy a preview.
It was a super accurate reading. It was. It changed my life.
Tug on me.
I'm not. Listen,
Doc. Come on. I would never do that to you. I honestly took your advice to heart. And I'll tell you, I have been seeing market improvement in what I've been working on.
And you know what? We never actually gave you an update on Elliot Serrano. You know, you did a reading for him over a year and a half ago, I think. You know, he's been in a serious relationship for a year now.
Elliot? That can't be right.
Oh, so this is like...
It's true.
So they're human?
Yes, she is human. Catherine's human. There's even photos of them on Facebook. I've met her. I'm sorry, I shouldn't just say there's photos of her. Like somehow he might just, you know, have...
He's a delightful man, but I mean, he goes on dates dressed as Han Solo. I mean,
that's a true story. Actually, Chewbacca as well. He wore a Chewbacca onesie, I believe, one time. Perhaps.
Well, nothing says sexy like a Chewbacca onesie.
So he is.
That's a line. I should get a phone. Where's my phone, Andy?
It's in the mail, Doc.
What are the last three songs that you randomly heard, Andy?
All right, last three songs I randomly heard. Okay, so I heard. The one song I'm thinking of is Another One Bites the Dust by Queen.
Okay.
And then I heard, I don't know what video I was watching, but it had the Rick Astley, Never Gonna Give You Up.
Nice, he sings a part of it.
And
even.
then I actually heard Sam Smith, Stay With Me.
Oh.
Earlier today. Oh, won't you stay with me.
Wow, he's singing for you and everything, Dr. Dingman.
Andy, this is a relationship reading.
All right.
Clearly. Another One Bites the Dust. Never Gonna Give You Up. And Stay With Me.
Oh.
Hmm.
I see where this is going.
Are you on the verge of, or have you recently had a very tumultuous breakup or bump in the road in your romantic life?
Doc, I'm gonna have to check the press release on that one. it hasn't been like great. You know, it's just sort of
status quo.
Almost like not much going on, sort of. But I don't know.
Right.
You've been too busy.
I understand you don't want to talk about this on the radio because the person could be listening.
No, I mean it's fine.
Oh, whatever. Really? Your voice just went up 2 octaves.
It's fine. I have a very high voice.
Here's what I'm seeing, Andy, and you do with it this information of what you will. You've never been married, correct?
Nope.
Would you fair to call you a serial monogamist?
I don't know. It's been a while since I've been in a fairly serious monogamous relationship.
Well, but you've had them previously.
Sure.
Yeah. And they all ended.
Yes.
Another one bites the dust. That was your first song. The way this works is your first song is talking about your past. Your second song, Never Gonna Give You Up, is talking about your present. And then, Stay With Me, that's your future. So, I think what's happening here is you just said that the relationship, it's kind of on autopilot. It's not fantastic right now. True or false?
Yeah, that's a good explanation of my dating life right now.
Okay. All right. You've had many relationships in the past that bit the dust and didn't work out. As everyone does. I mean, you know, you date until you marry or, you know, become repulsed by the other person. Those are the two options.
I mean, I tell you what, phones will never leave you.
Aww.
He's a company man, Andy.
He really is. Let's take a break here and find out the rest of Andy's reading. Okay. We come back after the news. More after this on 720 WGN. The world-renowned iTunes psychic Dr. Lars Dingman joins us on the Patty Vasquez Show, 720 WGN. And we've been doing a reading for Andy Choi, the manager of public relations for Verizon. Matt is on hold. We're going to do his reading as soon as we wrap up this reading for Andy. So your thoughts, Dr. Dingman, on Andy's love life and what the three songs say
right.
about him, which were Another One Bites the Dust. I don't know the other.
Never Gonna Give You Up and Stay With Me.
Right.
Okay, so the Another One Bites the Dust, that's referring to all of the empty, burned out carcasses of your past relationships.
Wow, that's
smoldering. It's like the Mad Max movie. It's the road is littered with that, but that's okay.
I mean, I wouldn't say littered.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, that's what happened, sure. That's, yeah.
I mean, there's not a lot. It's not like you could see it from space. There have been a few.
Yeah.
I'm not, you know, I don't think you're a first ballot Hall of Famer, but you're doing well.
Thank you.
Never Gonna Give You Up. I think what this reading is saying, you're telling me that your relationship is running out of gas right now. You would have broken up before now if you weren't mindful of, oh, geez, I don't want to break up with a long-term person again.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I think you're holding on to it for the sake of not embarrassment, but you don't want to quote-unquote fail.
Yeah.
And I think the... Go ahead.
No, I'm pretty nostalgic with most things, so that makes sense. Yeah,
right?
The fear of failure, sure.
And I think the purpose of this reading is this third song, Stay With Me. And I think that what that means in this context is stay with yourself, be true to yourself. It's not a failure to break up with someone. You know, if you're honest and you try and it doesn't work out, you know, that's why you date people. The fact that it doesn't work out doesn't make you bad or it make you not a good person or anything. It's, you know, the greatest hitter in all of baseball, Ted Williams, had one season where he was successful 40% of the time.
Man,
okay.
If I could bat 300 with the ladies,
right, yeah.
I'd be first ballot Hall of Famer for sure. But no, that's a very uplifting message. I'm ready to.
So if you're ready to move on,
get the batter's
do
box.
That without shame, and I think that's what the universe is saying. All right, good luck, Andy.
I like it. And Matt's on the line from the 630. Hey, Matt, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, good. How are you?
Very well. We're glad you called in.
Yeah,
Dingman,
me too.
Dr. Dingman, take it away.
What are the last three songs you randomly heard, Matt?
It was a jazz song, and then I heard one on TV by James Bay, and then Here It Goes Again.
Here It Goes Again?
Yeah.
Dolly Parton song?
I'd sing it for you, but my voice isn't too good.
No. I hear that. But you don't know the names of the first two songs?
No, I always listen to jazz on the radio, and then I heard one on TV.
Okay.
It was by James Bay, a music performer. So.
Okay. I will try and do this without the titles. Would you care for a business reading or a romantic, private, personal life reading?
Business sounds good.
Okay. All right. The jazz song, jazz is all about numbers, really, if you boil it down. Yeah, music is numbers, and jazz specifically is about strange and artful combination of dissonant numbers that somehow go together. So I think you're having financial woes currently.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So this is, you're having money problems. You're having money problems, and it's worrying you. James Bay, that's a tough one. I don't know who that is, or it's. I'm just drawing a blank on that. And then the last song was what?
Here It Goes Here Again.
Here It Goes Again, yeah. I think, are you employed currently?
Self-employed, but part-time for the last 5 years.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're feeling very frustrated and angry with the fact that you can't seem to find any traction with your job. True or false?
Kind of. It's nice to take a break because I worked real hard for the past, 35 years or so. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And
it was nice to take a break.
Right. Okay. Well, it's Here It Goes Again. I think it either means you're very frustrated and you're going to change, or this job, this part-time job, is going to mushroom into another full-time job, and that's not really what you want. Something's going to get out of control. That's what I'm seeing. What I'm hearing here is, oh, here it goes again. It's that kind of thing. Right? And I think you're dreading that. True or false?
True. Yep. True. Very true. So if I go back into the work that I used to do, I get hired immediately with a lot of money. So.
And is that what you're leaning? Is that the question you want answered? Is should you do that or not?
Well, 4 years ago, I had a massive heart attack and died from that work. I almost died.
You sound great.
Yeah.
You sound great.
It was nice that, I was able to survive, and I took a break, and it's been 4 years since I worked full time, and it was actually real nice to spend time with my family.
Mm-hmm. That's great. I think
raising my 5-year-old son, and I'm I'm getting up in age, so.
Yeah, I feel that this reading is about a turning point in your life. Either the part-time job that you're doing now is going to blossom into a different career, or you're going to go back to your old career, and that's going to blossom into a full-time job. I feel like you feel rested and strong, and you're getting a little bored, and you kind of want to get back into the game. True or false?
Yeah. That sounds good.
As long as you're feeling good, do it. As long as you're feeling good and strong, I think it's okay to do.
Great. Thank you. I appreciate that. That was nice. I really appreciate that.
I'm so glad you called in, Matt. Best of luck to you. We'd love to hear how it goes, okay?
Yeah, very well.
Great. Matt. Thank you again. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a great night.
Okay.
Do you have a preference, Dr. Dingman, when you do a reading? Is there something that, when it comes, or when you do a business reading as opposed to a relationship reading, or is it all pretty much fulfilling because, everyone has something different that they have to, that they're kind of dealing with in their lives?
Yeah, typically the songs will tell me whether it's a personal or a business reading. And sometimes when I'm doing it on your program on the radio here, I can tell people, Andy was a little reticent to discuss his personal life on the radio, and I understand that. People hear you on the radio.
He's
and you
blushing
don't want
right to now. Yes.
No, it was no, Dr. Dimon, it was fine. It's just it hasn't been that great, and it's not something I brag about. That's the problem.
No, I understand. And you don't want to be broadcasting with 50,000 watts of power. I get it. That's why I ask.
That's a lot
sometimes
of vibration.
People,
it is.
The songs tell me. As I said before, I hear these songs, I see movies in my head. Sometimes the movies are so disturbing that I'm guessing people don't want to hear them, so I give them the choice. But I definitely knew that Matt was concerned about money, and I think he felt like he was getting stagnant, and he sort of needed to give himself permission to go back to what he's doing the best, you know, what he does best. And I think that's what's been vexing him a little bit. So, they say on the World Poker Tour, they say cards talk. The songs talk to me.
Do you find that to be common for people to not give them permission for the things? And I mean, and I don't think people quite know what that means when it says not give yourself permission. You know, maybe there's a way to articulate that so that it's tangible for folks.
Sure. Well, let's go back to Andy. Andy is and his red face. he feels not shame is too strong of a word, but he feels responsible and bad about failed relationships. Now, that's first of all, that's a wasted emotion, Andy.
Oh.
What? Unless you're lying and cheating and stealing on these broads, if you're being honest.
Okay, wait, hold on.
He's not. I assume that he is not doing any of those things.
I'm not, and I would never refer to women as...
As what you said.
Yes.
But listen, it's a descriptive... I understand it's not PC, but it is a descriptive word. There's a difference between, you know, a mook and a dude and a guy, and there's a dame, and there's broads, and there's ladies.
Tom and I would like to know what a mook is.
A mook is a guy you would trust to... shovel the driveway in front of your house, but you wouldn't let him watch your kids.
Okay.
He's not right. He's a mook. He's a mook.
I've never heard of that one before.
The mooks.
What are mooks?
I've been seeing your picture in the socks all the time. A mook, it's different than a gentleman. I could call everyone a male or a female, but,
it's more colorful. It's more fun to say dames, broads.
Once again, I've never really cheated on a broad, so I just want to set the record straight.
You got him to say
He's not a jabroni.
That's right.
There's another great word. I'm bringing back jabroni. Hashtag.
What's a jabroni?
Explain it, Tom.
Tom, what's a jabroni?
A jabroni, he's the kind of guy that wears a leisure suit to, like, a funeral.
Yeah.
That's a jabroni. Like,
when your dad embarrasses you, he's a jabroni.
Yeah.
He's like a hayseed. You know, a guy, you're like, oh, God, really?
I've learned so much in the last, more than I have in a while, to be honest with you.
Jabroni.
Okay.
They're descriptive. Anyway, with Andy, Andy, you're thinking of these failed relationships as failures, when in fact, if you're being honest, it's trial and error. You know, when you were a little kid and you couldn't walk, you'd stand up and you'd fall on your face, and you'd stand up and you'd fall on your ass, and eventually you learned to walk, right? It wasn't bad that you fell. So when you attach this arbitrary negative emotion and feeling in yourself to these relationships, it makes it more difficult for your current relationship. Because he's like, oh, geez, I don't want to pull the cord again, because then I'm a five-time loser. It's not that. If you're playing the game with integrity, play the game. And, you know, Ted Williams failed 60% of the time. 60% of the time, utter failure.
Yeah, keep swinging for the fences, Andy.
That's right. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Wayne Gretzky, Michael Scott.
There you go.
Exactly. Giving yourself permission. Understand that if you're a quality person and you have integrity, that whatever you're doing, you're doing your best. You're not always going to succeed. But the strong people and the people that live happy lives and the people that live the fullest life that they should are the people that keep getting up and trying. Because when you do it, when you try, eventually you'll do.
I feel like the next time I'm on, Patty, Dr. Dingman, maybe I might have some good news after a reading.
Oh,
don't
all
you
right
think?
Then. I mean, I like looking, that optimism.
I'm looking forward to it. So
excellent.
Wait till the broads see me now. So thank you, Dr.
And by the way, broads love 5G. It's all about the G.
That's our new marketing campaign.
I think you should definitely make a commercial. I would be the broad in your 5G commercial.
I would make a great
marketing campaign. I love the 5G.
Everyone follow Dr. Dingman. He's the iTunes Psychic. You can go to iTunespsychic.com and follow him on Twitter at iTunes Psychic. Hope to see you in the studio again very soon, Dr. Dingman. It was a pleasure to hang out with you last month.
Yes, it was. Thank you, Patty, and thank you, Matt, and thank you, Andy. You know, carpe diem, Andy.
Carpe diem. Carpe, thank you, Doc.
Carpe the diem, for God's sake. Thank you, Dr. Dingman. Be well, be safe. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night. More after this on 720 WGN. Wrong one. Wrong sound. Hold on. By the way, have you ever heard all of our audios? Here's one. This is when we're going to talk about something dirty. This is for adult topics.
Warning.
So if we're going to say something naughty, I have,
we are entering adult
that button.
Topics here. You have been warned.
Sounds like the trailer to Inception.
It does, kind of.
It does a little bit. The other one was, this used to be Senator Katowski's intro music. It ought to be a law.
Oh, yeah. What is that? What is that? I don't like that.
Is this back when Daryl Hall was our production engineer?
This is Jason Skaggs was doing this.
Oh, yeah.
But the one I meant to hit was this one. Also by Jason Skaggs.
We didn't have time for it.
Auto-tune.
We didn't have time to talk about it. It did not make the show. It had to go. Maybe next time. I don't know. This is the end of the show. We gotta go.
This used to be the aerobics part of the show. We had like a big dance party every night on Pretty Late. It'd be like 10 to 2. We'd all be slap happy. So this segment started because when I first started working here at WGN, the producers pull a lot of great stories. One of my bosses, Stephanie, will send me a bunch of stories. And some of them are a lot of fun, and I want to get to them. Wait a minute. Hold on a second. I thought Dr. Dingman was still there. I'm like, is he still on hold? Did he not hang up? So they would print out all these stories, and I would feel bad that I felt bad. Griffin corrected me on this, by the way. You can feel bad. You don't feel badly. Badly. It means that you are bad at feeling things. So anyway, that's a tangent of grammar. But I would feel awful that I was collecting all this paper, and so I would keep a lot of the articles instead of just throwing them away. And I had this massive file of stories I hadn't gotten to yet. So Jason Skaggs wrote this for me, and at the end of every show, the stories that I meant to get to or was going to try to get to or I thought were kind of interesting were the ones that we would address very quickly. So there's a koala bear who has gone viral on Instagram because he's very seductively perched in some branches. Have you seen the koala bear?
Yeah, I was going to print that out for you, but I got blocked by a not safe for work link, you know?
Yeah, he's all like, hey, ladies, how are you doing? So he has gone viral. One of the stories that we've been meaning to get to actually for more than a week is that, the University of Illinois did away with their mascot, the Chief Illiniwek. So they've been taking some polls as to what should be the next mascot. And the students at the University of Illinois have been leaning towards the Alma Otter.
I like it.
I have not been asked as an alum. That is my alma mater. I mean, I could see it as a funny thing to say. What, you know, what's your alma mater? We're the alma otters.
Alma otters.
Tom does not look like he's enjoying fact that they're going this way.
No, I get it as a form of like sort of protest of sorts to be like, this is, you know, anything can realistically be a mascot. So I get it.
Yeah, I think isn't Stanford's like a tree or something like the other
tree? Yeah, it's like a
look like a Christmas tree or something.
Right? I don't know what's happening. Yeah. So
I mean Loyola's is literally the Rambler, which is it used to be Bo Rambler, which was an actual homeless person. Like Bo Rambler had like the whole picnic basket on a stick, like, and he would run around and he was a vagrant. And now we have a wolf.
It's
like I don't really know.
It seems like a lateral move.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Do you know? So it's possible the University of Illinois will have the Alma Otter as its mascot. We'll see. We'll see what happens. In Utah, a man bought $1,000 worth of Girl Scout cookies and told the Girl Scout troop to keep them and give them out for free. If you had any, like, if you could do something like that, would you, I mean, what kind of group would you say, here, I'm going to give you $1,000, keep the product and give it to everybody else? I mean, I guess Girl Scout cookies isn't the logical one, you know? He bought 250 boxes worth of cookies, and he didn't take a single one with him.
That's nice.
I would honestly, I know this is going to sound weird, I'd probably go for either, I'd go to a CVS and either buy like 1,000 things of painkillers, just be like, here, give out painkillers for people who have a headache.
People going to sit in traffic, give these to them on their way out
of
town.
Or, I would purchase like feminine hygiene products, like pads and tampons and things, and be like, these should be free.
Just put them everywhere.
Here's $1,500. Give them to anybody who asks.
There's a someone sent me an article about a guy who wears a fanny pack, which I know is masculine to begin with, but he
super masculine.
When he is under the impression that maybe how do you even know that a woman? You guys have never seen a woman in distress. We don't share that.
Spider sense, I guess.
Wait, what kind of distress?
Like that we might be that we are without any products.
Yes,
that we are stranded without products. By the way, I would say only twice in my life have I publicly had to deal with. I was doing a show in San Antonio, and I have this dress, the black and white dress, and I was selling t-shirts after my show, and this woman came up to me and she goes, you need to change your dress. And I didn't know I had started, and I was it was a nightmare. I mean, like, here I am, I'm the mother of two and I still can't figure it out. So then, like, there's an app for that, by the way, Andy.
An app?
There's an app for that to track your cycle. Mm-hmm. So now I know. I have a...
And with 5G, you'll find out to the second. The literal second.
Which is why broads love 5G.
Oh, there it is again.
Thank you, Dr. D.
Well done. The broads love 5G. Some parents are outraged after high school students were rating their female classmates. See, this is why social media is awful. This is where I don't know if I could function.
Well... They were rating their classmates.
Yes.
I'm going to say it's awful, but it's not like that wasn't going on prior to
social media.
That's true.
That's true.
That was, you know.
Just in different ways.
It's the footprint of it.
It's, yeah, the publicness of it that really makes it pretty bad.
When we were kids, once it was over, right? You know, you couldn't go back and look at it or the comments and things like that. That's the problem with stuff.
And the last thing I want to get to before we go is some of the folks that were sending us their favorite Irish pubs in Chicago or Irish food. The Highway House on Northwest Highway between Bryn Mawr and Nagel. Lisa, the owner, corns her own beef at the restaurant, and she sells, she sells 1 pound corned beef sandwiches year round, which sounds amazing. So wanted to make sure I got that one out. And the 847 says there used to be the Holiday Ballroom on Milwaukee at Lawrence. At midnight, they did Irish folk dancing. I dated an Irish boy. We went there every Saturday night. I wonder how long they were there. Oh, I love That's that cute. Memory. So thank you so much to all of our listeners. Thank you, Andy, for telling us about 5G.
Yes.
Right now you can order your mod. Your
5G
mod
pre-order.
It's $50 today. Otherwise, it goes up in April. You can also get your Moto Z3 for free today if you add a line.
Add a line today.
It's 5G capable. I'm gonna.